Our scripture lesson today comes from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of our mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I can just picture a bunch of people who are stranded on an island telling jokes. And none of them were really creative and couldn't come up with new ones. So as the years pass, they just tell those old jokes over and over, the same ones, over and over again. But even that got tiresome. So they just gave the jokes numbers. And to tell a joke, they'd simply call out a number, you know, and instead of reciting the whole thing, 15, and then there'd be laughter, and 11, and there'd be laughter, and then there'd 37, and silence. 37, and there's still silence. How come you laughed at 15 and 11, but not 37? Because you just can't tell a joke, I said. We're like that. We're like that, except with biblical stories. Instead of giving them numbers, we've given them names, but it works exactly the same way. Just mention David and Goliath, or the Good Samaritan, and everyone who hears remembers the story and the lesson it teaches. We don't need to recite the whole thing, nor do we need to hear it read from Scripture. We already know it. Today's lesson is one of those passages. All we need is the name, the 23rd Psalm. We know it. Any of us could tell it without reading it from Scripture. We know it. But it was read, and we all heard probably just what we expected. And now we're wondering which of the expected familiar sermons we'll hear. Well, if the preacher is old-fashioned, he'll talk about God defending us like a shepherd would against a wolf when wolves attack. If she's a more modern preacher, perhaps she'll remind us of God's encompassing care. We've heard those sermons, just like the scripture lesson, and we know what's coming, and we could preach them ourselves. So I ask, does the word of God have nothing more to say to us than just what we expect, what we already know? Is it enough to call out the number and let the listener remember and recite the joke to themselves? Well, it depends. It depends on what we expect. If we assume, well, we already know the story and its meaning, if we expect our knowledge, our faith, simply to be affirmed, then that's all we'll hear from Scripture, from sermon, just what we expected. But if we expect more than the usual, more than the familiar, the traditional, there's more to be heard, but to expect more means to search for it. That is, listen and read searchingly to Scripture itself, and not just rehearse our Cliff Note version enshrined in our head. So let's do that today with this lesson. To the best of our ability, let's turn off our memory banks that tell us, oh, we already know that passage and its meaning. Let's look and listen carefully for what more this text is saying to us. Well, our text begins with, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, we all know that a shepherd is one who watches sheep. Whether it be one sheep, two sheep, or a whole flock, shepherds watch sheep. That's the job of a shepherd. That's obvious. Now, maybe you grew up on a farm. I didn't. But so, you know, one sheep, you know, sort of looks like the rest of them to me. I mean, if you've seen one, you've seen them all, right? Well, that's not the way a shepherd looks at it. Shepherds claim they can recognize their sheep individually. Just like we recognize each other's faces and personalities, they recognize their sheep and know their sheep. So when the text says, "The Lord is my shepherd," it's saying God knows us on an individual basis. God knows what we look like, wrinkles and warts and gray hair and all, and God knows our strengths as well as our weaknesses and our personality traits. God knows us. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." While I would venture to say there's very few, if any, in this room who are wanting or lacking basic needs in life, you don't have to have 20/20 vision to see that there are people throughout this country, this world, who are lacking food and medicine and shelter, and the list goes on and on and on. The word used here, machzor, is translated want. But its root meaning means to lack, to lack. God knows us. I shall not lack. But there are people who are lacking basic needs. Every day there's a new headline about it. Does this verse only apply to those who are rich, who can afford services, and not the poor? Don't worry, I hear you. It's a verse for one and all. But it only becomes that when we are reaching out to make sure the people of this county, this state, this nation, and world have basic needs. To activate this verse, we must make it plural. Change I, me, mine, to we, us, ours. The word can also be translated, lack, but it also carries with it an implication to fail or lessen, to lower something. This verse can read, keeping with the plural, God knows us, we shall not fail. We shall not fail. That is, we shall not fail in the attempts to lift up the marginalized, the poor, the victims of the world's lust for greed and power. God knows us. We shall not fail. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's an odd statement. He makes me lie down. Ever try to make a 3-year-old lie down and take a nap? Ever tried to make them eat something? You're going to sit there until you eat that green bean. I've tried to make my kids do a lot of things, and it rarely works because it just boils down to a power struggle. I've learned you can lead a horse to the kitchen table, but you sure can't make them eat Brussels sprouts. And I'm no different than kids. Whenever someone tries to make me do something, I want to rebel. I suppose that's a natural human response. It seems in this modern life, we have lost the ability to relax, and we wonder why we're so stressed out. So God mercifully compels us. But not only that, God gives us our rest when, as the text says, He leads me beside still waters. In Hebrew, that phrase is translated as still waters. It literally means waters of rest. Waters of rest. Boy, after a long rummage sale weekend, we all need time beside waters of rest, don't we? And we're led to that waters of rest. If you've ever sat beside a pond or a river, maybe to fish or just picnic or just enjoy the quietness and the beauty of God, then you know what the waters of rest, what the psalmist speaks of. But God does more than just give rest. The text says, He restores my soul. That is, God gives us hope to begin again. We're built up, we're renewed, we're refreshed for life's journey. Thus it can be read, God knows us. We shall not fail. We are led to still waters to be renewed. And it's moments like that when we're given grace and strength to be led in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Notice that we're not left to decide which direction we're going. God's Spirit is directing us, is blowing. And it's up to us to adjust our sails and go where God is leading. When we choose the route, sometimes our journey goes round and round in circles, sort of like an endless roundabout. You ever? Or sometimes we're on a dirt road and the dust is so thick that it chokes us. Sometimes our path may be rocky, and sometimes God drags, pushes, drives, pulls us on our journey. Even Jesus didn't go into the wilderness on His own accord. He was driven. God knows us. We shall not fail. We are led to still waters to be renewed for our ministry. There are times when we must walk through that deep, dark valley of shadows. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. All our journeys from time to time go in that direction, and we experience that valley of shadows of death. It might be a death of a loved one, a crisis with our children or our grandchildren. It could be a loss of job, a broken dream, an illness, a death. Here, it can be a synonym for loss. So there are a plethora of things we grieve in that loss. And all of them are deep and frightening. This past week, Wendy and I went over to her parents to try to convince her parents to let go of their home and move into an assisted living place. That's a loss for them. Even though it's necessary, it's a loss. I remember one time facing a shadow. It was 24 and a half years ago, but who's counting? When I was in a church where I was the only clergy person on staff, and in a seven weeks, I did 13 funerals, one wedding, my son Nathan was born, and my mother-in-law and then my mother came to help. Looking back, it should be no surprise that one morning I woke up with my head. It felt like my head was being split by an axe. And the pain was so intense, I couldn't move, I couldn't get up. I hurt so bad, I couldn't think. I was rushed to the emergency room and given a series of tests, and the doctors were checking for all kinds of possibilities, problems that scared me to death, life-changing, life-threatening problems. If you've ever spent time in an emergency room, you know that can be scary. It's a shadowy place, even though all the lights are on. My family was kept separate from me most of the time. They didn't even have a room for me. I was in the hallway where it was very cold, and I felt very much alone. And so I prayed to God. Despite all my theological training, my prayer wasn't very eloquent. It wasn't filled with poetic language. It wasn't long and drawn out, and my word choices, well, wouldn't get me a good grade in basic English class. But my prayer was honest. And I suppose that's the most important thing, and the place where we need to start with our prayers. Honesty. In my prayer, I simply said, "Oh God, please help me. I'm hurting." And I repeated, I'm hurting over and over again. Please help me. Ever prayed like that? From the depth of your soul? When the shadows of death are all around you or a loved one? When you feel like you can't take another step? I prayed my simple but honest prayer over and over and over again in that cold and shadowy emergency room hallway. There came to me words of Scripture. Now, I was new to ministry at the time. I wasn't one who had memorized a lot of verses. But let me tell you, six verses came to me that day. In that moment of overwhelming pain and in desperation, I said out loud, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And on I went until I finished the psalm. And then I said it again. And I said it again, and I lost track how many times I said it. But soon I began to feel God's comfort despite being in that valley of shadows. I was most definitely in that deep valley, but I realized so was God. God was right there with me. And with God's help, I was going to make it. Yes, I knew I had to deal with the realities of possibly life-changing, life-threatening problems, but with God's help, I was going to make it. And how thankful I was that what I had wrong with me was a migraine, the first migraine I ever had. God knows me, knows us. We shall not fail. We are led to still waters to be renewed for our ministry. Pain and heartache will come, but it is God who journeys with us. The psalm continues, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." I've heard veterans talk about this verse as they're gathered for chapel during times of war. I'm told that this verse was a favorite in London at communion services during World War II when the bombing was at its peak. In normal times, it conveys the living thought that the table strengthens us when our private spiritual life is at its most bitter. God knows us. We shall not fail. We are led to still waters to be renewed for our ministry. Pain and heartache will come, but it is God who journeys with us, strengthening us with the table of grace. "You anoint my head with oil." Now, that's kind of a weird image for us these days. But for those to whom it was originally written, it was meaningful. It was refreshment for weary travelers. When arriving at one's destination, the host would often welcome the traveler by anointing them. Royalty was made royal by being anointed. Without a doubt, the good shepherd of our soul renews, refreshes, comforts us so that we can travel in faith and we can say, "My cup overflows." That is, blessings surround me. God knows us. We shall not fail. We are led to still waters to be renewed for our ministry. Pain and heartache will come. But it is God who journeys with us, strengthening us with a table of grace and welcome until we overflow with blessings. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This suggests that we're going to continue on our journey. It suggests that we're permanently members of the household of God, adopted into God's family. The good shepherd, let me reiterate, is the shepherd of one flock, all of creation. Often we can reach our highest in God's beloved community. Dante's conception of the Rosa Mystica in paradise is that each rose petal is perfect because it shares in the life of the whole. Saw a lot of that going on the last few days during our rummage sale, of people working together, and in that togetherness, there was God. There was God present. How great it is to say in Christ, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Yes, we're going to have good days. We're going to have not so good days. But God's going to see us through so that we can be with God forever and ever. God knows us. We shall not fail. We are led to still waters to be renewed for our ministry. Pain and heartache will come, but it is God who journeys with us, strengthening us with a table of grace and welcome until we overflow with blessings. For God is with us now and always. Thanks be to God. Amen.